Good morning. It's 29th of May. Our first reading for the day is Joshua chapter 15, which talks to us about the inheritance of Caleb. This, of course, follows on from yesterday's reading as well. I'm going to read to you from Brother Maurice Beale once again. After the sack of Eglon, which we read about in Joshua 10, Israel trekked due east to Hebron, a distance of about 36 kilometres. Hebron was the centre of a group of towns, all of which, the record states, were taken by Joshua. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Joshua's famous fellow spy, later inherited Hebron. We read in chapters 14 and 15 of the Anakim who lived there. The Anakim were the giants, whose presence in the land had been the ostensible reason why the 10 faithless spies had influenced Israel so adversely at Kadesh Barnea. Caleb dealt with the Hebron part of the family of giants, but they were only finally eliminated by David. Goliath was a Gittite, or citizen of Gath, and therefore probably a descendant of those who survived Joshua, for he and Caleb eliminated them from all the land except the three Philistine cities, Ashdod, Gaza, and Gath. Unlike the rest of Israel, Caleb chose his own portion in the land. There may be a couple of reasons for this. Although, like Joshua, a special case, he may also have been given a special allocation because he was a Kenizzite, and therefore not necessarily entitled to an automatic part with Judah, the tribe with which he was associated and which he represented when spying the land. This idea is strengthened by the quotation from Joshua 15 verse 13, which says that Moses gave Caleb a part among the children of Judah. There would have been little point in this statement if Caleb had an automatic right of inheritance. However, given his freedom to choose, it is characteristic of Caleb that he should select Hebron. Far from being concerned to inhabit the lush, well-watered lowlands, Caleb chose a relatively arid mountain region. This was not the choice of a normal person who depended on agriculture for his living. In this, he took a position very like that of Abraham, when he allowed Lot to choose the well-watered plain of Sodom, while accepting a less desirable place in the hill country of Hebron for himself. Furthermore, he had to share Hebron, for it was also given to the priests. Caleb only received the fields and villages around the city. A man of the world would say that he did not make a very wise choice, but his reason was clear. Chapter 14, verse 12 tells us that he was determined to drive out the Anakims who dwelt there. Caleb and Joshua had never complained about the unspirituality of Israel and had patiently borne with its consequences over the intervening years. But now there was an opportunity to vindicate their faith. Caleb had testified that Israel could easily deal with the Anakim because God was on their side. Now he wanted a chance to prove it. The record was at last to be put straight. In choosing the arid high country of Judah, Caleb was also committing his family to a life of sacrificial service similar to his own. This price is often demanded of the families of the faithful. It is a price, but it is hardly a penalty. When Othniel, Caleb's nephew, took the town of Debir, and Aksa, Caleb's daughter, as his prize, she asked her father a blessing. "For thou hast given me a southland, give me also springs of water." So the springs were given, significant of the water of life which is freely available to those whose ways are dedicated to the service of the Lord and his people. What a wonderful example of faith and service Caleb and his family set. Thank you for listening.